Well, now, before I say anything touching the matter that I want to deal with, I want to say something else. Paul wrote to the Philippians and said that while he was with them, they were obedient to him, but very much more in his absence. So that they were more obedient to him while he was absent than when he was present. Now, Paul is not here this evening, so he's absent. And one of the things that he left behind as an instruction for us was, give attention to reading. Now, there's a book room available, and there are plenty of useful books that ought to be read by those who are here present. It's a pity that they are there on the table and not so. There are some very, very useful books. Most of them I have read. And I'm not buying any because I don't want to increase my luggage. But I can get them when I get home if I wanted to get any that I've not yet read. But I would urge the younger ones particularly to buy something that is useful for reading. And I would urge the older ones to buy some of these books and make them presents, either birthday presents or Christmas presents or other presents appropriately, so that our friend who has brought the books here doesn't have to take them back, and that we all remember the injunction, give attention to reading. Now, I am being very, very glad to have partnered our good friend, Mr. Tom Taylor, and I was very, very interested in his subject this morning. Not that I've not been interested in them all, but this morning particularly interested me. Therefore, I'm going to ask you again to look at Joshua chapter 9 and chapter 10. I'm not going to duplicate anything that he said. I'm rather going to use these two chapters as a jumping off ground for what I want to say to you this evening. I want you to notice Joshua chapter 9, verse 14, and let me read it in the margin of your Bible. And they received the men by reason of their difference, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. So they were deceived by the sight of their eyes, and they were deceived by the hearing of their ears, and they listened to the yarn, and they observed the evidence, and they were blinded to the obvious, and they didn't ask the Lord for wisdom, and they made the terrible blunder of which we heard this morning. That is Joshua chapter 9. But look at Joshua chapter 10. Look at verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. A remarkable contrast with chapter 9. In chapter 9 they did not ask counsel of the Lord. In chapter 10, as you have read with me in verse 12, Joshua appealed to the Lord. And based upon his appeal, he instructed the son to refrain from further activity that day. And there was no day like before nor since when the Lord hearkened to the voice of an ass. That shows to us the importance as well as the privilege of what we have just been singing about. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. If we do so, we relieve ourselves of many a burden, and we solve many a problem. But if we neglect to do so, we fall into many a trap and get ourselves involved in many a snare. So I want, for the time at my disposal this evening, to talk to you a little about the important matter of prayer. I guess it has its difficulties with every one of us. It's a matter that we cannot logically explain. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes me. Prayer changes our outlook altogether. But sometimes we get into situations where we use prayer as a kind of emergency measure, appealing to God in order that he may get us out of a difficulty into the which we have got, and it may not be through our own fault. Indeed, the situation in Joshua chapter 10 was such that they were not in the situation of their own creation. And they appealed to God, and God gave the answer immediately. And the sun stood still, and the victory was achieved. And prayer was answered almost at once. You say, but yes, my experience, however, differs from that. You say, I have prayed to God about certain things, and in some cases I've had to pray for a long, long time. And I even now haven't got the answer. Well, we'll face these matters through the scripture, hoping that God will give to us some help and encouragement. But if it doesn't always work like Joshua chapter 10, it may work like Acts chapter 12. You say, what is that? I'm not going to ask you to turn to your Bibles because that would deflect your attention. I can tell you what is in Acts chapter 12. Herod had beheaded James with the sword. And Herod arrested Peter and incarcerated him in prison, intending to do the same thing after Easter to him. I wonder if you ever thought how it comes that Peter had a sound night's rest, that he slept so soundly that an angel had to smite him on the side to get him to wake up. I think the reason was this. He was resting on the word of his Lord. His Lord had told him that when he is old, another should gird him, and he should stretch forth his hand, and they should lead him whither he would not. This he spake, signifying by what manner of death he would glorify God. So people would say, well, I'm not an old man yet, and the Lord has told me the manner in which I am to die, and I shall not be beheaded with the sword. Herod doesn't know that. I'm resting on the word of my Lord, and I'm not allowing Herod to rob me of my sleep. So he's dead sound. But the church at Jerusalem was very concerned about Peter. Peter was in prison, and prayer was made to God by the church for him. I don't quite know how they prayed for him. They may have said something like this: O Lord, we have lost James, and we don't want to lose Peter, so wilt thou in thy mercy deliver him from prison. They may have prayed that Peter's faith may not have failed and his courage may not have failed, for it may be that they have heard of his previous denial. At any rate, whatever they said, the situation was that very quickly prayer was heard and answered, and the prisoner was released in a miraculous way from his chains and from the jail. And Peter came to the house where prayer was being made. And as is customary in the East, he knocked at the door and he called. And a little girl named Rhoda went to the door and heard the voice of Peter. And she was so amazed she didn't open the door. She went back and she said to those inside, Peter is at the door. Don't be so silly. God doesn't answer prayer quickly like that. Don't be so foolish. God doesn't answer prayer in a manner like that. We know what happened. It's not Peter, it's his angel. They beheaded him, and there's his angel come with the bad news. But still she childlike persisted. It is Peter. It is Peter's voice. And Peter called, and Peter knocked, and then they opened the door, only to discover that prayer had been answered in a remarkable way and in a remarkably quick way. Why was it quick? I suggest to you that it was quick because a little girl was involved. And where children are involved in the matter of prayer, God doesn't try their faith too much, for they haven't had life's experience yet, and they get quick answers. Older people have to wait. So there was a case of prayer being answered at once. But then when I was thinking about this, my mind went to John chapter 11, where it took about 1 week to answer a prayer. Unfortunately, like many and many a family, sickness had come into the home at Bethany. It was a home where the Lord Jesus was very welcome at any time. They were prepared to house him and to feed him. They loved him in that home. But unfortunately, piety does not give immunity from trouble. And unfortunately, in this case, Lazarus, the breadwinner, fell sick. What did the two girls do? I call them girls, although they were grown women. I've got two sisters, and I still call them girls, although they're about my own age. And what did these two girls do? They sent a message to the Lord. That's the equivalent of a prayer. They sent the message, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. And what did Jesus do? The amazing thing was, he remained at the place where he was 2 days. It was only less than 2 miles away, but he didn't move an inch. And he didn't send a word. He remained silent, and motionless. And those two girls couldn't understand it. Till thou brother be sick. And we know that the Lord Jesus has healed many and many a sick person, even from a distance. We sent the message. Why hasn't he healed Lazarus from the distance? We sent the message. Why hasn't he come in response to the message? I wonder if he's hurt. I wonder if his heart is changed. I wonder if he's lost love for us. Or I wonder whether or not this is a case that he can't handle. Thereafterward, the patient grew worse and worse. And then the patient died. And as is customary in the East, they buried the same day as death, and the patient was buried. And one day, and 2 days, and 3 days, and 4 days have rolled by, and not a word, and not a movement, and that prayer has gone up, and a whole week almost has elapsed. Why ever hasn't he come? And when he does turn up, Mary says, and Martha says, just exactly the same, both separately. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died, and this calamity would never have happened. Why was it you didn't come quicker? And why was it that you didn't answer our prayer more speedily? Why did you keep us waiting? Why did you allow Lazarus to grow worse and die? Why did you tantalize us and bring us into this state of distress? Didn't I say unto you that if you'd only believe, you'd see the glory of God? You think the case has gone beyond remedy? You think I've changed? You think I don't love you? You think I don't love Lazarus? Now, Jesus did love Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And you know the rest of the story. For there in John 11, prayer was answered in the space of approximately 1 week. Someone said, well, that's all right. That may have worked in that case, but I prayed for something or someone or about some trouble for very much more than 1 week. Well, then my mind flew away to Daniel chapter 10. Now, Daniel had been given a vision of a dreadful war that was coming. You'd have to read your revised version to see that that's the case. War is a dreadful thing, and this was going to be a great war. Many hearts would be broken. Many widows would be made. Many orphans would be made. The desolation and the destruction would be appalling. No wonder Daniel, when he had that vision, fell on his face and prayed to God, and he fasted and he wept, and he prayed for 3 whole weeks. Stated in that chapter under the other terms, 21 days. You imagine, day by day comes, week by week goes, and it looks as though the heaven is brass, and the year of God is deaf, and the arm of God is powerless, and the heart of God is hard. Why doesn't God answer my prayer? Is God a God who hears and answers prayer, and why does he keep me waiting? Not 1 week, not 2 weeks, but 3 whole weeks. When the Lord comes to him, he has to explain, you know, I heard your prayer, and I saw your fasting, but I was detained with the prince of Persia, and the prince of Persia and the prince of Medes have detained me, and you must read that whole chapter, which would require an exposition touching principalities and powers in the spiritual realm that exert their force in order to try to hinder the answer to the prayers of God's people. Thank God they are never successful in hindering the answer altogether. They may delay it, as they did in the case of Daniel. So in the case of Joshua, he got his prayer answered the very day. In the case of Peter in Acts 12, the prayer was answered the next morning. In the case of Lazarus, it took, as I have suggested, approximately 1 week. And in the case of Daniel, it took 3 whole weeks, stated specifically as 21 days. If there's anybody here been praying about a matter for that length of time, my advice to you would be keep on praying, because of things that I have yet to say. For my mind then flew away to 1 Samuel chapter 1, which has to do with Peninnah and Hannah. I hope you know your Bibles. If you don't know what you are missing. You see, a brother like our brother Taylor can introduce the topic, and then if you know your Bible, you can jump here and there, and you can think something for God's people. But if you don't know your Bible, you lose all that advantage. Hannah was a barren woman, a wife but barren. She had no child. Peninnah was a fruitful woman. She had many children. They went up to the temple year by year, as you will read, not only there, but as was the custom of the Hebrews. And when they went up to the temple, Hannah prayed to God, "Oh God, Peninnah's got many children, but I haven't got one. And I'm not asking you to give me a son because I want a son. I'm asking you to give me a son because you need him. You need a man. And I want to be the channel of blessing through whom the man comes." Look at Samuel's sons. How disgracefully they are behaving and accepting bribes. And when Samuel has gone off the scene, if we are left to those two sons, whatever will be our plight? Oh God, if you will give me a son, I promise you I will give him back to you, and he shall be yours. I'm not asking this in order to satisfy my own desire. I'm asking this in order to meet thy glory and the needs of thy people. Peninnah was very tired about this, and he said, "Now aren't I better than 10 sons? And after all, I can't give you a son. It's God who gives life." However, her prayer was answered after some years, and she got the child she desired, and she called his name Samuel. And that child Samuel, I referred to Samuel earlier, but I should have mentioned Eli. And that child Samuel grew up in the days of Eli, when Eli's wicked sons were disgracefully behaving in Israel. And God was preparing a substitute, and Hannah had become the channel of blessing in response to prayer, and after some years. Have you been playing for something for some years? Well, keep on praying. Perhaps some of you can say, as some of us can say, I can remember this, that, and the other event in my life when I gave myself to prayer about it, and God kept me waiting, and I couldn't understand why I was kept waiting. But ultimately, the thing for which I was petitioning God was the thing that He gave to me. So Hannah got her prayer answered after some years. Then my mind went to Luke chapter 1. Now that's a very interesting case. There's the case of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And they were a godly couple. They went in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord plainly. And that's very creditable for any married couple. They had no child, and they were not culpable in this matter, because Elizabeth was barren. Many a time had they prayed to God, "O God, wilt thou give to us a son?" But never did it happen. They never heard the patter of little feet in their home, nor the chatter of any little tongue in their home. Year by year rolled by, and year by year rolled by, and I can almost hear Zechariah and Elizabeth saying something like this: "Well, it's no good praying now." Naturally, it's quite beyond the possibility of our having a son. After all, Abraham and Sarah had a son in their old age, but then they had a distinct promise that God would give them that. We've had no such distinct promise, so we may as well submit to the will of God that we are not to have the favor of a child in our family. So they gave up faith. And then year by year rolled on. About four decades, about 40 years, probably more. And then the angel appeared to Zechariah. He said to him, as he was doing the order of his course of priesthood, "Zechariah, your prayer was heard, and now you are going to have a son. What do you want?" And he'll be a remarkable child. For the fact of the matter was that the son that they were given, namely John Baptist, was the greatest that was ever born amongst women, reminding us that God gives the very best to those that leave the choice with Him. And that God is capable of answering prayer where human possibilities seem to be entirely against it. For with the Lord, nothing is impossible. And so, Elizabeth and Zechariah had the great joy of having in their family that child who ultimately proved to be the greatest that was born amongst women, stated to be so by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep these things in your mind. Joshua got his prayer answered on the very day. Sometimes God does that. And Peter and the church at Jerusalem had their prayer answered the morning after. They were gathered together in prayer, and Peter had a good night's sleep and then woke up, was woken up by the angel, and the prayer was obviously answered because a little child was involved. Encourage your children to pray to God. And encourage your children to expect answers from God. But But if God doesn't answer prayer immediately for those that are growing in years, He sometimes keeps you waiting for 3 whole weeks. Well, it doesn't seem very long at the time, but it's here and now that it seems long at the time. 21 days without food, praying to God, apparently not able to get through and getting no response from God, but ultimately it came. For we must remember that in the matter of prayer, when we are approaching God through the Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are in the spiritual realm that sometimes gets invaded by wicked spirits and the powers that are in the hiddenness. But it may not be 3 whole weeks. Some may have prayed for some years. You may have prayed for someone or for something. I can't tell. In a congregation like this, every one of us knows the secrets of our prayer life. But be encouraged by Hannah. She prayed and prayed and prayed, and God at length answered her prayer, made her a channel of blessing, raised up a man that was to be the judge of Israel, raised up a man that was to supersede the dreadful sons of that Eli priest. For you remember, Eli was a heavy man. There was a lot of the flesh about him. His eyes were dim. His perception was bad. He sat on a seat, and the priest should never have sat down. He should have been standing up interceding. No wonder he fell back and broke his neck. God has no room for men like that. But through the prayer of Hannah, He raised up another man who for long years was the judge of his people. But then there was a longer period. And for long, long years, and when nature had said it was utterly impossible, and when despair had come in and prayer had been abandoned, then God came in to Zechariah and said, "You thought that prayer wasn't heard. You thought it was pigeonholed, didn't you? You thought I'd entirely forgotten it. But my prayer was heard, and now you are going to have what you desire." And as I have remarked, she became the mother of the greatest that was ever born amongst women. But then my mind goes on, and the Apostle Paul tells us how that he had a remarkable experience. His remarkable experience was this. He was caught up into heaven, in the paradise. The third, people want to know where paradise is. Well, we are told in that chapter, 2 Corinthians 12, it is in the third heaven. And Paul saw things and heard things that he was not permitted to utter. And you can tell the liability that there would have been with Paul, that when he had come back amongst the saints, he might have strutted about and saying, "I've been where you've not been, and I've heard things that you've not heard, and I've heard things that I'm not permitted to tell you. And I've seen things that you haven't seen." And he might, to use the phrase that he twice uses in that chapter, have been exalted above measure, gone strutting about amongst the saints by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelation that was given to him. But so that shouldn't happen, there was given to him by divine permission, and it was sent to him by the agency of Satan, a thorn in the flesh. Not a little tiny rose thorn, but a stake, that is to say, a piece of wood or iron that was in the flesh and was very, very painful, very uncomfortable, and very hampering and hindering to his work. And then he tells, now for this thing, I prayed the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. I was specific about it. For this thing, I didn't wander about in my prayers and make a long do about it so that I multiplied words unnecessarily. For this thing, I besought the Lord. I was in dead earnest. I besought. And I besought the Lord because he was in a position of power and authority that he could do what I wanted him to do. And I besought the Lord that this thing might depart from me. 3 times I prayed him about that. I don't suppose that he imitated the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, though it's remarkable the Lord prayed 3 times. But I believe that Paul prayed 3 times simply because by the 3rd time he had got the answer to his prayer. And the Lord said to him something like this. Now I understand the situation, Paul. You are like a cargo vessel. You've got a very heavy cargo, and you feel that you are liable to sink. And what you want me to do is to take the cargo away. So I'm not going to take the cargo away. I'm going to give you more water to float you. And my grace will be sufficient for you to keep your form, and you will therefore be able to carry on with your work. So most gladly then, I accept the negative answer to my prayer, and I glory in my infirmity, so that the power of Christ may abide or rest upon me. Some of you, dear friends, may be in a position like that. You have some physical handicap. You all know what it is. Every one of us knows the plague of his own heart and the disabilities of his own body. You may have some malady, and you may have consulted the doctors, and the doctors have said, well, we've done the best we can. And you simply have to live with it. That's all. You'll have to live with it. And did you feel discomfort when you got that medical statement, or did you say something like this? Well, evidently, the Lord is treating me the same way as Paul. So the Lord didn't take the thorn away from Paul. He said that my grace will be sufficient for thee to live with it. And despite the handicap, and despite the messenger of Satan, and despite the thorn in the flesh, you will be able to glorify me and still serve me. So that's an encouragement for any good friend. And we say this most sympathetically, who has a physical malady that cannot be remedied. You pray to God, and the answer doesn't come in the way of relief. And the medical advice is such that you have to live with it. And the Lord gives grace accordingly. I'm deeply aware how easy it is for me to stand on this platform and talk like that. For God in his wonderful mercy hasn't given to me such a cargo to have in my path of life. But sometimes the Lord's choicest pieces are those that are laden with such trouble. Then my mind went to another, and that was Moses. And Moses says to God, as you will read in Deuteronomy chapter 3, "Oh God, let me go over into the land and see it." "No," says God, "you're not going into the land. You know what you did, you spoke inadvisedly with Joseph. You disobeyed me and you smote the rock when I told you to speak to it only. And I can't allow you, on account of that, to go into the land. For small sins in great men have big consequences." Moses was the greatest of all men in the Old Testament, but the frightening sin, as he was the God, had tremendous consequences, and he was not allowed then to go into the land. But there had been a prayer, and God had heard it, and God later on answered it. And the way that God answered it was that after Moses was dead, long after Moses was dead, he was found with Elijah and with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration in the very land where he wanted to go. So he got the answer to his prayer after death. I remember being in Belfast on one occasion, and my chairman whispered to me. He said, "You see those two men down there? Talk to me afterwards and I'll tell you something about them. So after the meeting you told me this." There had been in that last meeting in Belfast a man who had been saved in middle life from a dreadful life of sin. And for over 45 years he had lived a sterling Christian life. And at the prayer meeting every week, genuinely and not monotonously, he prayed to God with his brethren, "Oh God, save my five boys. Save my five boys." The old man at the age of 85 passed away, and not one of those boys was saved. But within a month of his death, two of the five were saved. Within a further week, another two were saved. And the brother said, "There's one over there, and we're waiting for him to come in and for this brother's prayer to be answered after his death." Now, I think this should encourage all of us in prayer. Every one of us gives ourselves to prayer, I hope. Pray without ceasing. What a friend we have in Jesus as we have done. We cast our burden upon the Lord, knowing that he cares for us. But sometimes he keeps us waiting. He'll keep us waiting a night, or 3 weeks, or a few years, or many years. Or sometimes he just gives to us a different answer from what we want. Or sometimes he allows us to pass on into eternity and not to see in life the answer to our prayers, but we'll see them later on, as Moses did, and as that brother in Belfast did, and as many another who has prayed and prayed for their children and the passed on. And then we used to sing in England an old hymn was, "Tell Mother I'll be there," written by a son who had been saved after mother's death, and he wanted the Savior to tell Mother he'd be with us in heaven and glory. The Lord add his blessing to this meditation. Let us pray. Our blessed God, we thank thee that thou art a God that hears and answers prayer. We thank thee for the brief prayer that we can recall that has been answered. We pray that thou would help us to make it a matter of habit to refer to thee in prayer in regard to every detail of our life, and to watch with thanksgiving for the answers to our prayers, to grant unto us faith that we may walk patiently and hopefully and trustfully. Let thy blessing be upon us for the rest of the evening and the whole of the night. For Christ's sake, amen. Thank you.